The NBA playoffs are here, and we all know playoff mode is a thing. Listen to the evidence. Playoff crowds are going wild. Playoff players are lighting up the court. Even your speakers are in playoff mode. Okay, we'll take it down a notch, but just a notch, because this is the Turn It Up to 11 NBA playoffs. Playoff mode is clearly a thing. The NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel continue on ABC, ESPN, TNT, and NBA TV.
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now, go.
Well, look who it is. Come on in. Pull up a pew. I'm Matt Ford. He's John Richardson. And we're all down the dog. Do you
Hello
like that?
And welcome. Do you think there's any pub in the country? Yeah, I my favourite pubs, let's be clear about this. I like a nice restaurant-y. You know, there's something about a roaring fire and the smell of good gravy on a pie that makes you think, oh, I'm going to get a good pint in here. But my favourite pub is the ones where affection is only communicated via an insult. So you walk in and someone says, oh, fucking hell. That's what I like. And do you think there's any pub in the country where when somebody walks in, they say, oh, look who it is.
There must be.
I associate that more with a sort of an auntie you haven't seen for a while. Oh, here he comes. The cat's mother's back.
It's my...
We thought we'd never see you again.
I thought it would be nice to welcome the listeners if they were coming into our environs. And said,
oh, no, that's exactly what I mean, but I just don't think it's a very pub greeting. Oh, here she comes.
All right.
Oh, what a smashing new blouse.
Oh, look who it is. Is that better?
Yeah,
here
we go.
Oh, look who showed up.
You've come back with your knickers around your ankles, have you?
Oh,
open your wallet. All that stuff. Moths coming out of the wallet. That's what you want, innit?
Yeah, proper old.
Must be bloody Christmas if he's getting around in.
Do you know what? It annoys me if people do that to me. I think if it resonates
well,
as
you're
an
very good at that.
But I just think, and as are you. In fact, I find it very annoying. Actually, I do get my round in May. I tend to get the first, actually. That's the kind of guy I am. Is I like to get partly because, one, I don't be the sort of person to fall behind. I find punctuality in finance as well as physical person punctuality. But also, then it's a weight off the mind. You're like, well, I got the first round in. So that's me good for the next three or four then. That's nice. Pay it forward.
Yeah, exactly. And shall I tell you why I like to get the first round in? Because everybody's sober and everybody remembers the first round. Don't be getting your rounds in later when everyone's hammered and they've forgotten. Like, have you, has Phil got a round? Get the first one. It's I got the first one, and that is banked. And then you don't have to get around for the rest of the night, really. You just lie then. You say, I got them ones in the old dog and partridge.
The old dog and bastard, which is where we are.
Yeah.
And this is our first round.
It is.
So what did you do at the weekend, John?
What did I do at the weekend? I went
Yes,
to,
what did you do at the weekend?
What did I do at the... Sorry, what did I do at the weekend?
Yes, what did you do at the weekend?
Oh, you ask like you know. Have you seen something? Am I trending on Twitter? What did you do at this very... You can word that in a lot of ways, can't you?
Given
what
that
did
neither
you
of
do
us
at the weekend?
Mentioned Corbyn in the last week. I think it's fair to say that neither of us have guaranteed... if you want to trend on Twitter, folks, just mention Corbyn in a negative light. It's an instant Twitter-twend. That's my advice.
What did you do
at the weekend? Yes, what did you do at the weekend?
What did you do at the weekend? I've gone all Y-bird. Why? Had to explain Y-bird to my daughter this week. She's been watching a lot of Stop It and Tidy Up.
Oh, Stop It and Tidy Up are good. Y-bird drove me mad. I found Y-bird very annoying.
Exactly. I have to say, you don't know you're born. Kids' cartoons are very funny. Teen Titans Go is very funny. It's very sarcastic, dry humour, quite
nice.
Grown up. And I say, well, we had a character called the Y-bird. And she said, why would it call the Y-bird? And I say, exactly. It just said why all the time. But difficult to explain that to a child in a way that says, don't you do this, though. I know I'm telling you about something I find very annoying, but please don't do this.
Yeah, don't do it. But seriously, don't. Anyway.
Seriously.
What did you do this weekend?
Yesterday, we went to a family farm. Not where they farm families. Obviously, that would be weird. Don't feed this family. They bite. But a farm that is, shall we say, a tourist attraction where one
chickens
can feed
like
alpacas.
Humans like
there's
this.
A sheep race. There are ferrets. You can touch a guinea pig if you're that way inclined. I did.
I think I am.
I touched two guinea pigs and a rabbit. What do you think of that?
And
how many animals did you touch this weekend? None, I bet.
Wrong. Wrong again. One. I touched one animal this weekend.
A dog.
Cat.
Never. You touched a cat.
I touched a cat. I went round to a mate's house. They got a cat. It came near me. I touched it.
Don't have you down as a cat toucher.
Well, I didn't know there were going to be cats there. So we turned up. There were cats, two of them. And one of them was more friendly than the other one. And that was the one that I touched.
Yeah. It's always the way with cats, isn't it?
I mean, you and I are dog people. You're a dog person more than I'm a dog person. But this cat had a bit of a dog vibe about it.
Okay.
Not dumping me with leg. No, it didn't. It just came near me and was friendly. So I was like, all right, you and I can
never, never can talk about dogs humping legs without thinking of the wonderful Sean Lock line. What's the best way to stop a dog? Humping your leg, pick him up and suck his cock. Oh, dear.
Oh, man. So
wonderful stuff.
So you went to this thing and you basically stroked a gerbil and a what?
A guinea pig.
A guinea pig. That's so different.
A guinea pig and a rabbit, and I fed a goat by hand and it can sort of tickle the palm of your hand.
Did you remember to tuck in your thumb?
No.
Whoa.
Tuck it in? What, over the top?
No, the bottom. You've got to get your thumb out of the way.
Oh, yeah, I did. It was a very flat palm. It's one of those situations, and pub lunches in the summer are the same, where as a father, you are required to pretend to be braver than you really are. And I am slightly concerned. I mean, these goats, I'm not saying they're not getting fed, but they were straight over. The minute they had the bag of pellets rustling, they were legging it like they hadn't been fed. It was like a zombie horde. And so my daughter shat herself and promptly lobbed the odd pellet from about 6 yards behind the fence. It was good throwing practice for her, to be honest, because she was a way away from that fence. And I said, oh, they're all right. And then went to go near the goat and thought, if this bites a finger off here, we're not coming back to any animal. This is her finished with animals if I lose a finger to this goat. But I've got to say, it was an absolutely wonderful experience. There was never anything but a tickle.
Well, that's nice, because they can be. Goats can be very violent. I remember seeing a goat climb over a child in a pub beer garden, and it's still one of the
you're gonna say a forest.
Believe this, that pubs used to keep effectively wild animals for the amusement of drunken revelers. It's a terrible moment, shameful moment in our country's history.
Snenton?
Yeah,
but I mean, I can't say I recall pubs that had wild animals just for the amusement of drunken revelers.
Yeah, but that's because you're basically gentry. You're a posh bastard, and you were shielded from this by your gilded life. Whereas shit munchers like me were forced to knock around in beer gardens, where basically you're at the mercy of the animal kingdom from a young age. And that gives you a level of street smarts and wily that you shouldn't have to have. But I'm glad that these goats were more docile. You did say something, John. You said something about there's two times dealing with goats where you're having to pretend to be braver. But you also said having a pub lunch. I didn't get that as a mark of bravery.
Wasps. A wasp will obviously approach the table looking for a bit of lager, perhaps if it's pudding time, certainly, or just a land on a chip, you know. And I'm a sprinter in that situation, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm sure you'll have seen me over the years. I reckon I lose about 2 pints a summer to just abandonment due to wasp attack. I can't do that around my daughter because I don't want her to be scared. So you just become the person that you've seen. Dad, don't worry, it's more scared. Oh, stand still, it won't bother you. And as a result, you have to pretend not to be scared when you are.
I find this terrifying. I just leave.
Yeah, well, you've got a lot of allergies, haven't you? So I can understand, you know.
Well, it could be lethal for me.
It could be lethal.
I suffer from anaphylaxis.
Yeah.
I carry an EpiPen.
Do you?
Yes, I do. But what?
Not always.
I occasionally need to be reminded. But at the moment, because I've got a little rucksack that I take with me to all places that contains what's in my rucksack, you ask, in our brand new feature. in the rucksack are some comfy wipes, which are effectively a big pack of aloe vera wipes.
They weigh a bloody ton, them things, don't they? I felt for you when I picked up a pack of them. Jesus.
It's like the Atlas stones at the end of World's Strongest Man. I'm like Magnuson.
Oh, lovely reference.
Thank you very much. In fact, one of the straps on my bag has already started to rip off. I'm like, fuck it, how much am I carrying around? And I'm on sticks. Crutches.
I assume Magnus Magnuson.
Yeah.
Translates as Magnus, the son of Magnus.
Oh my God, it does. I've just checked it out.
Sounds a lot better, doesn't it, though?
Magnus Ver Magnuson. John Ver Johnvinson.
Yeah, well, I am John, son of John.
Oh, yeah. But also, you're Richardson, which must have been son of Richard at some point.
Yeah, so I'm John, son of John, son of Richard.
I'm also son of John, but I'm just Matt. Ford.
Is a Ford not a bridge?
Ford is Ford is the water, not the bridge.
The waterway, not the bridge itself.
But that is, obviously, I'm Irish Ford because it's got an E on the end. So I'm exotic. Oh, I'm foreign me. Yes, I have an immigrant's tale.
So you're saying we could get this to telly?
Definitely.
Okay, great.
I may have to dial up the Irishness a bit. Like that. Go, it's tough like coming over. What a dude. I can do that. I'm from Irish immigrant stock.
You
anyway,
apologise for that now, or I think you might be trending on Twitter now.
Oh, no.
Worth a check.
I remember Corbyn, like, because he, like, got us the peace process. Like, my accent's all over the shop here. Anyway.
That's a big sentence.
Oh, it's terrible.
Are you there, Landlord Danny? Is this all right?
Oh, we've had a lot worse in here.
St. Patrick's Day, of course, this week.
I come back from a Guinness hat. What the fuck is that? Like I said, from Irish immigrant stock, so it's fine. In the bag, I have a colostomy changing kit. There's a really heavy pack of wipes. But I also now, I'm able to carry my EpiPen because there's a little thing in there. So a little pouch in my pouch. I carry that as well as, I would say, 10 catheters and about 6 nappies so that when I pee, I can then change my... Well, I can change my nappy. They're called tenor pants, but let's be honest, they're nappies. They look like nappies. The big men.
Yeah, nappies. Well, because you've called them nappies, I have started calling them nappies. But when I go to do it, I don't feel as comfortable with it as you do.
You don't feel comfortable calling my nappies nappies?
No, because it's sort of your gag, isn't it? Because obviously there's a sort of humour in just confronting it and calling them nappies, whereas I suspect the manufacturers of these products have worked very hard to come up with a name that adults feel comfortable using that doesn't at all imply that they are nappies, because that's synonymous, obviously, with babies.
That's a good point. But the problem is they do look like nappies, so that it's really hard to get the word nappy out your head when you're looking at
them. Do you want to tell the listener the voice you say it in as well? Because you don't say nappies, do you?
I do make it. I'll say, I'm just going to go and change my nappy. I imagine, you know how people say it, nanny, mummy, and daddy. And you're like, not only is mummy, daddy weird, you're making it sound inappropriate. I'll have to check with daddy. You're like, got to go and change my nappy. I'm afraid I've filled my panties. Because when you're in continent following surgery, you have to find a way to use yourself. And
yeah, absolutely. It was very fun. But you understand, certainly to an onlooker in a pub, if you do that, it's funny. If I say to you, have you filled your diaper? it looks like bullying, is what I'm saying.
I wouldn't receive it as bullying, even if it was.
Oh, no, I don't think you would. I mean, we've said the most horrific things. I've said the worst things to you than I've said to any human being on the planet.
Yeah.
Usually in the Surbiton area. I think there's a square half mile of Surbiton in which I have been the most inappropriate I've ever been anywhere.
Yeah. Great fun, though, wasn't it?
Those were great days. They were heavy drinking, carefree days.
You know what? I'm going to say halcyon days. But
you can say halcyon.
I'm going to Google halcyon, denoting a period of time in the past that was idyllically happy and peaceful. Good. I sort of knew that's what it meant, but I couldn't have told you the actual definition.
Mick Jagger there.
was trying to stifle a belch because I like to make myself coffee after I've changed my colostomy bag. Top tip there, guys, if you're about to get a stoma, change the bag, then have a diuretic. And that's the interesting way, shall we say.
I had an experience that one day I will look back on as halcyon.
Okay.
at the family farm, obviously. Lovely. The sun came out. It was raining when we arrived. Then the sun came out. They opened the bouncing pillow. That's huge news. We were the first ones on it.
The bouncing pillow?
It's like a giant. I can't say it's a. It's not a trampoline because it's a sort of inflated pillow, but it's got no sides. And you just climb on this giant. It's not quite the size of a five-a-side pitch. It's maybe 3/4 of a tennis court. And it's just a giant bouncing pillow. It slopes off at the edge so you can sort of sit down on it and someone bounces and you get flung off. It's just
wonderful. It's a bouncing castle without walls.
Well, no, because it sort of tapers down, you see, and the tapering is the fun. So it's dome-shaped.
But is it
it's
that
not flat?
Is it, okay, but is it inflated in the same way?
It's similar, yeah. The experience is similar to that of being on a bouncy castle, but... If you've never been on a bouncy pillow, it's fantastic, bit of fun. But had to keep explaining to my daughter that we needed to get home. Felt slightly guilty. I don't want to paint myself as a wonderful parent. Like, oh yeah, we went to the family farm, let's talk some animals. Throughout the whole experience, I was like, right, can we, let's go and watch the sheep race. Right, feed the goats. Because we had to get home for Leeds United versus Millwall.
Yes.
Which was an almost... almost the opposite experience. And I wouldn't feed a Millwall fan by hand, even with a flat palm.
No.
They'd take your finger off.
But what I do find with Millwall fans is, and it's the same with England, is the vast majority of them actually are very sweet and then have to overcorrect their behaviour.
Yes. It was not an experience. It was a tough game to watch, even though at the end, Leeds United, who were 17 points off the top on New Year's Day, 26 games played, we were 17 points behind Leicester, and we are now top of the table on goals scored. I mean, it's you sort of forget because the agony of watching each game is, you know, because you're at the point of the season now we can't even really enjoy. Like Millwall are near the relegation zone. It's a home game. It should have been relatively straightforward. And at 2-0, you'd probably say it was to a neutral. Sheffield Wednesday, the same. They're awful games because those teams are now desperate for points and they've generally changed managers. So it's not like they're on that downward spiral. Huddersfield, new manager in. Sheffield Wednesday, new manager in. Millwall, new manager in. Every game is so painful to watch. You almost forget this is as good as it gets, really. For any team in the world, I think we've won sort of 12 out of 13 games and drawn the other one. And I realised I won't look back on it as, oh, that was amazing, that. I just remember like pints, because it's been pissing it down and it's been cold and all our fixtures have been moved. So they're generally either too early to drink or they're in the evening and it's dark. It doesn't feel like it's been 12 wins out of 13, but absolutely adore this team and manager.
Oh,
it's I'm very so happy special. For you.
Because I think, and maybe it's easier to see it from the outside, but the form you were on, and especially with Leicester slightly dropping off a bit, and your form's just fantastic, that it was obvious from the outside that actually things were better than you were maybe assessing from the inside. But John, I think most Leeds fans will be enjoying this. I think this is the Rico zone where you are finding it not pleasurable because you have all these issues and you're worried about maybe you're the sort of person who thinks, oh, if I think we're going to win the league, if I even say it, we're fucked. We won't even make playoffs if I say we're going to win the league.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I said that a friend of mine who's a Leicester fan texted me at full time yesterday and said, and there it goes, it's over, which is, you know, my mentality. But for Leicester fans are certain now that they've blown it and they're going to lose in the playoffs. And I replied, I know how you feel, but let me just say as a Leeds fan, I am confident that you and Ipswich will go up first and second and we will lose to Hull in the first round of the playoffs. Because that, and it's not that I believe that if I say we'll win the league, I jinx it. It's just if I allow myself to let that happiness enter me, the thought that I might lose it is devastating. I would rather not believe any joy is possible and just get to the end of my life and say, oh, actually, that was all right, than risk thinking, oh, I think we might go straight back up again and then have to cope with the consequence.
The NBA playoffs are here, and we all know playoff mode is a thing. Listen to the evidence. Playoff crowds are going wild. Playoff players are lighting up the court. Even your speakers are in playoff mode. Okay, we'll take it down a notch, but just a notch, because this is the turn it up to 11 NBA playoffs. Playoff mode is clearly a thing. The NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel continue on ABC, ESPN, TNT, and NBA TV.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars, because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Onto the pub, I'm in a bottle, and what do you make of this? A bottle of Peroni. Not my usual favourite. I don't know if
Why did you do this?
I much prefer lager from a bottle now than a pint.
Shut up.
I prefer the taste, because what it is, what that conical neck does, and the small hole, is deliver the payload.
You're talking about my body.
What it does is sort of, I guess it delivers it with more force onto your tongue, and then the bubbles kind of splash across your mouth like ocean spray, and it's far more refreshing. I think it tastes better. Obviously, we've talked about this. A lot of pubs, possibly this one included, don't look after their lines properly. So sometimes there's that chewy element to a pint.
Oh, you're trying to piss Danny right off.
I'm backing you right up here, Danny.
I can only
These
apologize.
These pints are clean daily, I have you know.
Are they? Who buys?
With my own piss.
So is that how long is this going to last then? This bottles, because it's going to throw our round system right out of piss.
Well, I'll still get the round in.
But you're going to finish in about what? You're going two bottles per pint, because then you're over.
Well,
that's
I'm
660.
Trying to just drink slow. This is the thing. It's a mixture of two things. One, it tastes more refreshing on the tongue. That's a crucial thing. It's about the experience. Secondly, because I now have to set alarms to piss because I can't feel when my bladder's full. I'm like, do I really want to be drinking pint after pint after pint?
Okay.
And be filling up and then rupture my bladder and just pump my guts full of piss. It's slightly at the back of my mind, because sometimes I forget to reload on the old alarm. So now I'm like, if I drink a bottle, that's less volume. Mm-hmm. That's better for me. I had a few pints yesterday. I had a Guinness yesterday, a couple of pints of Guinness yesterday for St. Paddy's Day, like, not sure if I mentioned it. Like, I don't know why I've stopped being able to do impressions. Do you think the impression ability was on the base of my spine, and now that they've removed it, my powers have
You're
gone.
Like Samson.
Yeah. God. That was the source of my strength, my coccyx.
Scratch it then. I think you're just out of practice. I think that's all it is. I think, you know, when you think you were basically playing under Bielsa impressions wise, weren't you? You're knocking out impressions left, right, and centre. Why don't we now? I'll set you a challenge by the end of the podcast. Why don't, if somebody knock on the door of the dog, and I've got to guess who it is, and we'll see, and it can be anyone from any sphere, just an impression you think you've got, and we'll see whether your powers have failed.
Okay.
You can knock on the door whenever you feel ready.
Okay.
What? Oh, already? There's someone there. I'll get it, Danny. You just stare Fordy out for giving you shit. Hello?
Hello. Anyway, I'm sticking with
what?
It.
Okay. How's it going?
It's going well, actually.
Can I help?
I'm not sure you can, given your record, but I think I can help, and I think I can help myself, and I think we can help hardworking families across this country, actually.
In the Dog and Bastard?
Yeah. Look, I'm happy to have a fruit drink or some sparkling water.
Okay.
Love football, me.
Do you? Are you big football? When were you last at a game?
Yeah, well, I was at a game recently, actually. I went to see the Sainty Boys play on the South Coast, and yeah, love watching them. Who do you support?
Yeah, I'm a Leeds fan, so obviously I've really enjoyed the downward turn in form, which I'm sure you can speak about as a Saints fan yourself. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the change in form and, of course, the postponed game, which was against...
Yeah, well, look, I think, look, Leeds have got some great players and I want to pay tribute to them, actually. But, you know, great history, as I'm sure you're a great goalkeeper that we all remember. But look, I'd rather people support my team, the Sainty Boys, actually.
Okay, well, it's been lovely talking to you. I've got to go because I can hear Kemi Badenoch is actually banging at the back door. I think she wants to come in... I think she wants to be in here more than you do, to be honest. I don't know what you think
right.
of that.
Well, look, I'm not leaving anytime soon. I certainly won't be leaving in May. And I plan to stay at the Dog and Bastard until at least December, actually.
Okay, I think you're barred.
Look, tall guys like you think you can pick on midgets like me. And I'm sick of beanpoles like Rico thinking they can just lord it over me because they're over 5 foot, actually.
Well, Jeremy Hunt, thank you for joining us at the dock.
Piece of shit.
See, that's good. That was I got that first sentence. I knew who you were then.
The action is not my best, and it needs a bit of work. And I'm a bit ring rusty. Actually, is the word that I used to get into soon. Helped mortgage holders. Actually, he can't help himself. He goes into that little schoolboy. I am doing well, actually. He's got a real pernickety element to him, hasn't he, when he's provoked?
Yes. And he's probably, I think, fair to say, less of a bottle of Peroni drinker, more of a, he's teetotal.
Yeah.
But were we at a dining table, I think perhaps he's more likely to order something along the lines of a Chianti Classico.
Oh, lovely table, actually.
Big news this week.
Big news. Lots of people on social media reaching out. Chianti Classico won at Cheltenham. Chianti Classico, the name of a horse. I can't believe I didn't stick a tenner on it. I'm not a gambling man. Had I been aware in advance, I would have backed the horse purely for fun. Chianti Classico won the ultimate...
I did text you the night before, but, you know, don't worry about it.
Oh, the palpable tension between the landlord and the gobshite here.
Can I just defend myself, actually? Because I'm on, I keep wanting to say stilts, because I'm on crutches, my hands are full a lot of the day. So I fall behind very quickly on certainly WhatsApp chat, emails, etc. So I have to stop what I'm doing a lot of the time and just try and have 5 minutes on the sofa. I'm just catching up on all these bloody messages. So I'm sorry, Danny, that I didn't respond.
Well, I feel bad now.
Yeah.
I feel bad now.
Presumably, this is not Chianti Classico's last race. I mean, I hate horse racing, I have to say. I don't particularly want this to become a strand, but you presumably will have the opportunity to back Chianti Classico in the future.
That's a very good point. But, you know, Cheltenham's the big stage, and I'm not into the horses either. I like the animals.
Why don't we buy it?
That's a great idea.
Are you supposed to buy them when they're sort of new and unproven rather than... It's not like buying Manchester City as opposed to that team in America that we tried
to
buy.
We'll get all the listeners to throw a couple of quid in.
All right, then.
Well, we could buy a Barolo, couldn't we? Oh, that's more expensive. What's cheap? Let's buy Beaujolais. That'd be cheaper. Because Beaujolais is nice.
Well, you want one that's just not even named, don't you? That's the cheap where it just says red wine or fruity wine. Do you know what I've been looking at lately? My mum bought one and I keep thinking about it.
Horse?
No, my mum's not buying a horse. He's gone down the other end. Boxes of wine.
Mm.
It just makes sense, doesn't it? You stick it on the worktop and it lasts a month. I could just go in and have a little half glass, just a little.
But do they do good quality wine in boxes?
I'm not bloody arse Clark, am I? I think they do good enough wine for my rusty gob. My horrible... I'm probably having it with a corn burger and chips, so probably.
Get
they do that 19 crimes stuff.
Oh, yes. Hello at downthedog.com. Have you got a box of wine at the moment? Can you get good wine in boxes? And again, John and I aren't being snobby about this, but certainly when we were growing up, the sort of wine that was in boxes wasn't the best stuff. That may have changed. He's Googling it. I can hear him tippy-tapping away. He's doing his research live.
I'm trying to find if there is a horse named after a cheaper wine than Chianti Classico. So I've Googled horses named after wine.
Guess what? John's Googling. New feature. God, we're full of new features today. I mean, you guys are just getting, you're basically in on not just the podcast, you're joining us up here at the bar, but you're also, you're part of the workshopping of this. You know, you're part of the creative process. Lots of people get in touch with us saying, guys, what's your process? Because this must be scripted, people say. It's got to be scripted, people say to me. I say it's not. We just make it up as we go along. And they go, I can see that now.
I'm looking at a Twitter thread here. I clicked on it because the name of the lady who tweeted initially is Katie Loves Soil, which made me laugh because I'm a child. And she says, someone on Facebook asked what they should name a horse whose parent was called Red Wine. I said Cabernet.
Genius.
But nay as in like a horse.
I got it.
And that's led to a series of decanter from Paul has replied. And that's it, really. It hasn't taken off.
Oh Canter.
Merlot. Yeah, Canter, yes. Anyway, I'm not going to read out historic tweets about...
John reads old tweets. It's another groundbreaking feature right here on Dan the Dog.
While we're talking about knackered horses and whining, are you at the point where you are sort of refreshing the newsfeed on Forest, or are you fairly relaxed about what's going to happen this week? And what is your prediction?
I think we'll get a points deduction, but I think we'll stay up. So what do you make of that? Yeah, I think that'll rally everyone. I think that the worst thing is not knowing. And when you're in limbo, you can't focus. And I know in people go, well, they're still footballers, aren't they? Why can't they just kick it in the goal, for crying out loud?
Okay.
It's time for Colostomy Corner. And over there today is a guy called John. J-O-N as well, John. He said, I recently took my five-year-old to his first ever football match at Harrogate Town, although we are Leeds fans.
Great Leeds choice.
Fans. Yeah. He said, I thought I'd build him up gradually to the craziness of Elland Road.
Yes.
He said, we sat in the Black Sheep Brewery family stand, possibly the best sponsored stand in the country. God, Black Sheep's lovely.
Done the brewery tour twice in Masham.
He says, while I was there, I noticed the disabled toilet at the end of the adjacent stand behind the goal had a sign to say it was also a stoma toilet.
Wow.
I can't say I've ever noticed such a thing before, especially at a football ground, but with Fordy's recent tribulations with one, it's probably perhaps raised my awareness of such issues. So if he ever decides to change allegiance from his beloved Forest, there's a little club in League 2 that would have the facilities to accommodate him. John, thank you so much for letting us know. And fantastic that Harrogate Town, obviously in a Betty's tea rooms and stoma toilets.
Yeah.
What a great mix.
Surely there's got to be a trip to Harrogate Town, aren't there?
I'd love that.
And a black sheep and a fat rascal.
Oh, fat rascals have nuts in them now, don't they?
Oh.
Nut-free one.
Perhaps they've got like a chunky Barry or something.
I'm sure it'll be fine. I needed that. I got a bit upset about my stoma yesterday. I thought, because I've been so positive about it. But then I'm like, I can still get upset from time to time, can't I? It's okay. I can generally
be positive,
occasionally annoyed. So, I feel like you would never really choose to have one, I think, ideally. In an ideal world, you'd still poo out your bum. And I think most people would agree with that. Sometimes you're just like, I don't want to go to the toilet at 3 o'clock in the morning. Do you know what I mean? I'd rather just like not have to do that. And if it gets a bit loose, it's a nightmare. It's, But then I wake up in the morning and I always feel better. I'm like, it's okay. It's okay to periodically get annoyed with a change to your body that you're still getting used to.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's essential to acknowledge your emotions as well for the positive and the negative, because otherwise... not really alive, are you?
No, but you know what? I kind of feel like, because I've been so positive about it, and that is my genuine outlook, I almost feel like if I get upset that, I don't know, this is mad, I almost feel like I'm letting other people down, which, and I don't mean that in an egotistical way, I just mean like, oh man, and I've been so positive about it on this podcast in other places, I wouldn't want to feel like I'm not telling the full story of what it's, at times it is quite upsetting, it can be, even if I'm overall fine with it. And last night I was just like, oh God, what am I doing?
I would say exactly the opposite. I would say you would be letting people down if you didn't acknowledge the difficult part as well, because they will have difficult parts if they're going through what you've been through, and they might feel weak for doing so if you've managed to remain absolutely, resolutely positive. And to hear that actually, although you can be broadly positive, there will be wobbles, I think is actually a very important thing to hear. And that goes not just for surgery and stomas, but any aspect of your life and well-being.
I think, well, full disclosure, I'd had a few Guinnesses.
Okay.
And I'd also had a roast dinner and then gnocchi. There were a few hours in between. So I was full and I was groggy. And I think, so I sort of went to bed, I was sort of crying in bed last night. And then in the morning, I was fine. My wife was like, "You all right?" I was like, "Yeah. Why wouldn't I be? You cried yourself to sleep last night." I was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I'm fine now." Not forgotten about it, but it's just already we've just been like, "Oh, fine, yeah." That was the old me.
That was then. This is now.
Exactly, which I guess is, you know, a good thing. But I think a lot of it actually is just to do with my. If I'm physically uncomfortable, I'm more likely to get upset now. So we'd been to this place where the seats were very hard and I need a good cushion under my bum now. So if I'm sat on hard seats, I'm like, because then it makes my legs and my feet, I get nerve pain. Mm-hmm. And then I've been having pints of Guinness and I've had a big roast dinner and then I had an Italian meal. I was like, oh. And then everything was getting a bit loose. So it was like a multitude of physical discomfort. So I think that played a part. Oh, people started getting in baby Guinnesses, which tastes lovely.
What are they?
It's like a little shot. I think it's Tia Maria and Bailey's.
Okay.
Lovely thing. Tastes like Christmas.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Do we do them here, Danny?
Oh, no, definitely not.
That's the end of that. So we'll have to go down the road to have one. And what else did I? Yeah, I had a pint of Amstel.
Now you're talking about going to the pub down the road. Are you trying to get barred from the dog? You sit in front of the landlord and say, "I'll nip down the road and have one there."
I'm opening up about my feelings here. Now I'm talking about getting barred. But, so I think all that played a part. I think I probably had too much liquid, too much solid, and I'd sat on a very hard stool, for want of a better phrase. Chance would have been a fine thing. Actually,
the combination of hard stools and loose stools.
Exactly, yeah. And the wrong way round as well. What you want is to sit on a soft stool and produce a hard stool rather than sit on a hard stool and produce... It's a classic game show. Hard stool, soft stool. Email hello at downthedog if you want to play. What are you going to sit on? We'll blindfold you. We've had so many emails.
Are we had any more... So we have also asked advice from listeners, not just on colostomies and such like, with advice on household pets. And Wayne has emailed. Hello, Matt and John. Long-time listener. He's very nice there. Thank you. I can't read it because it'll make me sick in my mouth, but very kind.
I want to hear it.
Hi, John and Matt. Love the pod. Long-time listener, and I genuinely can't get over how much I enjoy hearing you both talk shit to each other every week.
Cheers, mate. That was nice.
It is very nice, isn't it? But
mildly backhanded. You're just talking shit, but I enjoy it.
Yeah, that's true.
What's that podcast you're listening to? Just two blokes talking shit.
Yeah, it's still a lot of formatted podcast with content. And there's something about you two just absolutely driveling on.
Do you know what? I guarantee you, at least one of our listeners will have repeated the phrase, "Gotta stick a tube down my dick." Yeah, if you have, email us, hello at downthedog.com.
John mentioned that his family would like to get, I hope it's not a GP. I think the next steps for us from here are to stick a tube down your dick. Oh, sorry, I've been listening to a podcast. It's just, two guys talking shit. Yeah, I'll listen to that. John mentioned his family would like to get a ragdoll cat. Understandable, they're a gorgeous breed and renowned for docile and loving personalities. Well, beware, in capital letters, beware.
Ooh.
I bought a ragdoll for wife. I think he means my wife. I bought a ragdoll for wife 12 years ago. He's called Doozer after the chaps from Fraggle Rock. Wow, 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 wow. Looks gorgeous, but he's a proper twat. constantly attacks and bites me for no apparent reason, often when I am lovingly stroking his belly. He whines all the time, which has gotten worse with age, although he appears to be perfectly happy, and he's gone from neatly shitting in a cat litter tray to annoying the fuck out of me by depositing poo all over our lovely artificial grass, the prick. So all I can say is looks can be deceiving. Beware, John. P.S. Dooza is a proper pedigree ragdoll supposed to be kept inside, but we've installed a cat prison fence, which means he can roam our garden freely. It might make you feel more happy about the imprisonment of a cat. I've linked the fence people for you. Keep up the good work, Wayne. I think we're going guinea pig to I keep think you so. Updated.
Cats are just too risky because they do, no matter how well raised they are, they've got wild blood. You cannot tame these beasts and they will lash out unprovoked. You know what? I feel like Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park, and I feel like I'm just warning all these other people who are Richard Hammond, just saying you cannot contain cats in this way. Cats will find a way.
You're so busy Googling ragdoll cats to find out if you could get one.
You didn't stop thinking you should, and you packaged it. You're selling it. You stood on the shoulders of geniuses. Love the way he says that.
It's a good film.
By the time you listen to this, we may well have been clobbered.
I've Googled it now and I'm on the Nottingham Live website. It says live updates. Latest news has read could learn fate for breaching profit and sustainability rules.
Oh, God, it's gut-wrenching, isn't it?
It's horrible because it's so not football. Do you know what I mean? As a fan, you want to go up or stay down. I mean, it's a step further than VAR. And I'm not saying it's not important and it doesn't need to be done. And those teams that breach rules, as Forest have, should not be punished. I mean, TikTok, Manchester City. However, you want to go up or stay down based on whether you, as you said earlier, kick the fucking ball in the goal. And all this, especially at the end of the season, is just torture, isn't it?
It's horrible. I tell you what you need at a time like this. You need to play with a dog. And Dan has been in touch to nominate his... I'm so good at segues. I genuinely think I could host any show on telly.
Well, it's made me think as well that, you know, they bring like dogs into hospitals and things like that. At what point, as a football club ever, just brought a dog in? Like, it strikes me as the sort of thing a desperate manager would do. Like, just... I've just brought the dog in, lads. Just have a little tickle of it. Do you know what? I look at you out there, lads. You're tense. Nobody knows what they're doing. And I want you to just imagine you're a dog. You're on the park. You're with your mates. You're having fun. So have a little stroke of bingo over here. Feed him a biscuit. And then get out there and fucking be a dog.
But you'd have to... Oh, he's pissed on the goalpost. Yeah.
Right, shit in the dressing room. Go out early, do some shuttles.
You could do with a therapy dog at Forest. Just parade the dog around the pitch beforehand and just let people reach out and stroke it.
When we saw Nuno in the tunnel, it looked like a man who just needed half an hour sat in a comfy chair with a little border terrier just to sleep on his lap.
Oh, warm. Like a Raymond Briggs cartoon. Lovely, warm vibe. But Dad has been in touch. Dan, sorry, God. It's like calling the bus driver mum, isn't it? He says, meet Felix. Because
Daddy's been in touch.
Daddy. He says, Felix is 6 years old and he's the most mongrel of dogs.
Yes.
No one can seem to place his breed. He's a rescue from Greece.
Yes.
So he's an international flavour. And of course...
The country definitely... or he just got him out of a vat of lard?
The country. And obviously as a club of Greek owners, the wonderful Mr. Marinakis, I'm predisposed to this dog. To my delight, it's been an absolute pleasure, except for one small issue.
Oof.
Oh, man. Brace yourself for this. I've no idea whether this is common or not, but he took very quickly to getting his dick out. The dicks are always out. And they're like, well, he's not like he wears trousers.
No, he means the lipstick, I think, doesn't he?
He was not particularly keen on putting it away. As I'm sure you'd appreciate, my wife wasn't keen on a further penis on display. We have two boys. After a bit of research, we were left with little option but to aid him in the process of putting it away. An industrial-sized box of rubber gloves and tub of Vaseline later, the penis can go back into its holster. Luckily, this lasted for around 6 weeks and we're no longer required to don the rubber gloves again. Love the pod. Keep up the great work. Delighted about your recovery, Matt. Bye, Dan.
I don't want to look at the picture.
Well, imagine having to touch a dog's dick. The dog's there like, he's sticking his finger down my dick.
Well, that's all we've got time for this episode.
Don't forget to email us hello@downthedog.com. Give us your pub dogs. Nominate yourself for Colostomy Corner and indeed for Bullshit Corner. And join us on another slice where for the price of just half a pint a month, we're putting out an extra podcast.
Do you know that would have been a pint a month recently, wouldn't it?
I know. £3 a month. Actually,
£3's now half a pint.
Outrageous inflation. But you can get the exclusive Down the Dog lock-in, where you get a couple of extra episodes a month, outtakes, and much more. And it has a lock-in feel, John. There is a more illicit adult vibe to it.
It's a late night Hollyoaks, isn't it?
It is. It's late night Hollyoaks. And there's a brand new episode going up this very week. Go to anotherslice.com/downthedog and leave a 5-star written review, share, subscribe, and remember,
don't get up the cat.
Don't fuck your stoma. Bye.
Bye.